Hey there, Pearlside Church small group leaders. Welcome to our Small Group Leaders podcast, where we help you prepare to lead your small group. This is Pastor Billy here with Lex and Lomi Bao, one of our downtown congregation site leaders. And we are excited to begin this new Christmas season and our series, The Arrival. You know, traditionally, all around the world, Christians celebrate what's called Advent, which is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And the whole point of Advent is to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. You know, I don't know about you, but I say this every year. I can't believe it's Christmas already. You know, like Christmas is next week. Oh my gosh, right? Because in our busy lives, we just get so distracted. And then Christmas comes upon us and we can very often in all that busyness miss the significance and the reflection that's supposed to happen and the worship that's supposed to come out of us throughout this season. And so Advent is meant to prepare us 4 weeks in advance so that we don't miss the moment and so that we can give Christ the honor that he deserves, but also to prepare ourselves to be the people that he's called us to be in this life. And so we begin this series this week, and just a quick note, for all the information that you need for our Christmas weekend services, because there's a lot of changes happening just with the nature of the thing, you can go to pearlside.org/Christmas for all of our Christmas schedules, for all of our sites and services, so that you can be aware and so that you can share that with your friends and family, because we definitely want to give Jesus the best gift of all, which is people that don't yet know him to come to know him this season. Amen. Well, we begin this week by looking at the prophetic words that were given about the Messiah, really between 2,000 up to 500 years before his birth. God spoke to prophets like Moses, Jeremiah, Micah, Isaiah, about what he was going to do to bring salvation to the world. And there's a whole lot of things that is revealed in the prophetic words about Jesus and how he fulfilled them that is very instructive to us and how we can view God and how we can relate to God. You know, the Jews were in a terrible state of oppression, and they expected the Messiah to come as a military leader, as a conqueror, to free them from their physical oppression on the earth. And you know, there are a lot of people today that still only see Jesus as someone who's going to bring physical blessing, physical deliverance, right? Help make me wealthy, make me healthy, heal my marriage, heal my sickness, all those kinds of things. And he definitely does those things. I mean, we've seen over the last almost 30 years in this church, tons of marriages healed, tons of physical things healed, tons of financial breakthroughs. I just heard of one this past week, you know, person finally started tithing and boom, bunch of financial provision comes out of nowhere. You know, I'm like, yeah, that just happens, you know? So God definitely does that, but he doesn't just do that. He's not just here for our physical deliverance and our physical blessing. More importantly, he's here to deliver us from the oppression of sin and death. That is the greatest deliverance of all. But the Jews didn't understand that. They expected a military leader. And so when Jesus came as a humble, poor baby and then lived an obscure life and then ultimately died on the cross, they rejected him because they didn't meet his expectations, or he didn't meet their expectations. And you know, when we don't have the right expectations of Christ, we can miss what he's doing entirely. And so we need to understand what God is doing through the prophetic words that were given about him. And we looked at several of them from the prophet Isaiah this week. When we have the right expectation and the right perspective, then we can see what God is truly doing and really have a great the relationship with him that he's called us to have. But all too often, I have the wrong expectation.
Yeah,
I want God to do something a certain way, and then he doesn't do it, and my expectations are shot, and I get frustrated, right? Come on, somebody. I know I'm not the only one. And so we have to have the right expectation about what God is doing. And so what do we do? How do we respond to this when God doesn't meet our expectations? Again, Jesus didn't meet the Jews' expectations, so they rejected him. How do we respond? First of all, is, you know, and we talked about it this week, is we need to focus on what Jesus did on the cross. It wasn't just to deliver us from our natural oppression and to give us natural blessing. It was the spiritual oppression of sin and death. That's why he had to die. And the Jews couldn't understand that, so they rejected him. And then secondly is we need to focus on our eternal reward in heaven, not just the temporary things that we want him to do in the here and now. Does he heal marriages? Yes. Does he bless financially? Yes. Does he do all these natural things? But that's just a small part of it. The most important thing is he saves us from sin and death for eternal life with him in heaven forever. And often our focus isn't on that. We just want him to, you know, bless me, heal me. And when you don't bless me or heal me, I shake my fist at you and get frustrated. And we reject him like the Jews did 2,000 years ago. We have to have the right expectation. And so as we dive into the discussion this week with our small groups, that's really helped to kind of ferret that out, right? To process out I've done this for a long time. A lot of Christians have the wrong expectations. And when they don't get met, they get mad at God. But really, was that God's fault or was that our fault for having the wrong expectation? And so we need to help. We want to help set that frame this week as we discuss. So as we reflect on the weekend sermon, the main thought and passages above, what is the Lord highlighting to you and why? Lexan, you want to launch us out there? What stands out to you?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I love how you shared that they had this specific expectation of the Savior coming in to save them from the Roman oppression. But yeah, when Jesus came as a baby in a manger in the most humbling way, it was probably something they're like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
Right.
And they could have easily discredited it. And I think even in life, when God doesn't show up in a way we expect, we can easily just throw him out the window and throw everything out.
Yep.
But I'll go ahead and just even share my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Billy and I, we've had conversations years ago when my mom had COVID-19, and it was around the holiday season as well, or Mother's Day and things like that. And it wasn't something I expected at all. But one thing I was praying and believing for right when I got saved was for my parents to come to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, 4 years went by. I came to Hawaii. Everything kind of changed. But God showed up in a way I did not expect, where he allowed my mom to have COVID-19. And Pastor Billy and I had a conversation, and Pastor Billy said, well, maybe you should still go. And I'm like, but I can't even see my mom because we can't even be in the same physical proximity to be together.
And this was in the very beginning
right
of the pandemic.
Right at the start of COVID-19.
Exactly. No one knew what was going on.
Yep.
People were dying of COVID at an alarming rate. And I remember you were wrestling with, why is this happening,
yep.
right? You had a little bit of that crisis of faith. And I don't even think we could meet in person. I think it was on Zoom.
We had to Zoom it. Yep, yep.
So that was a very dark time.
Bad haircuts too, because we didn't have a barber either.
Well, but I was cutting my own hair, so I don't know what your problem
is. Yeah, see, he was smarter than me. Smarter than
But you know, I remember that conversation. She said, should I even go to LA to see her? Because I can't even see her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember even saying in that moment, you should go because what if God's going to use this? You know, so continue.
No, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. And I want to make sure that I mention this is even in my own personal time with God, I did have a wrestle where I was crying on my knees and yelling to God and saying, man, God, just heal my mom, heal my mom, heal my mom. But I think after about a week of that, God shifted my prayer from heal my mom to God, do whatever your will is for my mom.
Wow.
Because before she is my mom, she is your daughter.
Ooh.
So that means you have a plan for her life more than I can.
That's good.
And from that moment, that is when we had that conversation. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go, but I'm going to go and I'm going to try it out. And it was hard though, because I couldn't even be in the house with my dad. I had to stay in a hotel room. But I remember the first thing that happened when I showed up and I surprised him. He came outside. He's like, oh my goodness, Lexan, what are you doing here? And he was so joyful. But a day later, he finally broke down in tears and he said, I can't do this anymore. And I said, well, are you open to receiving Jesus into your life?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, son, yes.
Wow.
And then I asked him, I was led by the Spirit to say, okay, well, while we're here, we have nothing else to do. How do you feel about walking through one-to-one discipleship, you and I, every day, at least until mom gets healed, God willing? And he said, I would be honored, son.
Wow.
So from that moment, it wasn't something I expected, and it's definitely not something I wanted in that moment.
Yeah.
But long story short, fast forwarding, my mom got healed miraculously. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to get a tracheotomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she got back, she also received Jesus into her life, because even in the moment where she was laying in that hospital bed by herself, she said, God, if you have a plan for my life, keep me here. If not, I'm ready to go. And God saved her, and she realized, saying, it's because God has a purpose for my life.
That's great. You know, what was incredible is, I mean, I do also even remember in the very beginning you saying, why did God allow my mom to get COVID? I do remember that conversation.
Yeah.
And you know, and listen, all of us have those moments, right? When something happens, we go, why, God? What happened? You know, because our expectation is, God, if I follow you, you're going to take care of me, you're going to bless me. And I think it's not wrong to have that expectation, but we also have to have the expectation, hey, we're going to face trials in this life. We live in this fallen world, but yet God will use it, right? And so when you had that pivot to say, okay, God, I my expectation is changing, whatever your will is, you went up there, God did something that you didn't expect.
Nope.
Right?
Yep.
Use you to lead your dad to Christ. Because what everyone doesn't know probably is you didn't have a great relationship with your dad
not
before
at all.
That.
Not at all.
And so the miracle of him being open to you and the gospel through you to do one-to-one with you, I mean, that's a miracle. And so God used this situation to turn it and to bring something great out of it, which I think is amazing. And then healed your mom on top of that, right? Mm. And so I thank you for sharing that, Lexan, because, you know, when we go through trials, you know, we have to have that perspective that, okay, God, what are you trying to do through this?
Yep.
What do you want to work in this? It's not the way that I wanted it to turn out. It's not the way I expected it to turn out, but God, you have a plan. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, the arrival of Christ, the way he came, didn't meet everyone's expectations, and that should pivot the way that we see life as well, right? So thank you for sharing that, Lexan, because that does pivot into our second discussion point question here, which is share a time when God didn't work in the way that you expected him to.
Yep.
Well, I don't think you ever expected your dad to get saved through your mom getting COVID.
Yep.
Or your mom to get saved through getting COVID.
Uh-huh.
But that's the way that God worked, not in the way that you expected, right? Yep. And, you know, so as we lead this discussion, you know, let's have everyone kind of process. And maybe someone in the second question would kind of still be a little disappointed, right? I think all of us still have some disappointments in our lives where God didn't work, right? But looking back on that experience, can you see how God was, in fact, at work? Maybe through sickness, through something else, right? And then let's let people kind of process that in that moment. And then lastly, you know, and I'd like us to kind of end with this one. How do you need the power of God to work in your life today? Is there a particular circumstance in which you need God's power to work on your behalf? Maybe you're in a place where things aren't turning out the way that you want. We don't give up on that and say, well, thank God there's heaven, you know,
yeah.
you know, and we're all going to die, but at least we go to heaven. No, let's continue to contend and believe. That's the tension we hold. Does God answer prayers? Yes. Does he always know? And that's why we have peace in heaven, but we have to hold those things in tension. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't give up on the miracles.
Yep.
I'm glad you didn't
mm-hmm.
While we wait for the promise of eternal life, but neither should we get upset at God when he doesn't turn out the way that we want and only focus on eternal life. We have to have those hold those two things together. And so in this moment, let's really believe and stand with one another and pray for God's work to be done, just as Lexan did in this situation. Thank you for sharing that story, bro. Any final thoughts you wanna throw into this discussion?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I just want to close with this is a quick story of my wife and I. We were potentially going to move into a unit that was maybe a few floors down from our place, and the landlord ended up asking us the question, "Oh, what do you do?" And then obviously I got to say I'm a full-time minister, and sometimes I can get really good or really bad depending on the person. But right when I told her that, she said, "Huh, okay, that's great, because I'm actually looking for a church. Right now I go to Word of Life, which is a great church, but I'm still trying to figure it out." And then the conversation continued on, and then we were about to close, and I felt led to ask her the question, "Well, how can I pray for you?" And it was on my Sabbath, like our one day off. And then, but I felt led to ask her, and right in that moment, she paused. And then she began to weep. And when she began to weep, she said, "I'm sorry, but the reason why I'm weeping is because I recently lost my dad and he died. And obviously he lived here, but he didn't die here." And she made sure to tell me that, because I'm like, okay, cool, because I don't want him to haunt our place if we live there. But I ended up asking her the question, "Is he saved, or did he receive Jesus into his life?" And she said, "No, he didn't. And the reason why is because I always thought there was tomorrow. I thought there was next week. I thought there was next year." And we got to pray with her, and we got to encourage her and say, you know, God can still move. You never know, right before his dying breath. But there was so much regret in her voice. And I think that as we're going into the holiday season, small group leaders, I want to encourage you not to just focus on the holiday spirit or the Christmas or the family parties, but know that even when you're at those family parties, there are a lot of people that are hurting emotionally, that are struggling mentally. So be ready to just be available and encourage our people to do the same thing. Because the reason for the season, like we always say, it's not the presents, but it's Jesus. So the best way we can share Jesus is by being available for those that are hurting this holiday season.
That's so great, Lexan, you know, because there are a lot of people that have dashed expectations during this season. The marriage didn't work out. That person didn't get healed. And they're not sitting at the dinner table, you know, those types of things. And let's not, let's be extra sensitive and lean in to people's lives, get in there and love on them, because that's what we're called to do, particularly in this holiday season. Thank you for that reminder, Lexan. Well, everyone, as we lead our groups this week, let's really help people to have the right expectations, to see Jesus the way that the scripture meant for him to be seen, so that we can have a right relationship with him. And let's continue to shepherd our people forward. And as Lexan so rightly brought out, to be a light to other people who are hurting in this season. We don't know how much time other people have, and these are the moments that we got to capitalize on, and the Christmas season is that time. So this is our time, church. Amen. So leaders, thank you for all that you do. Have great discussions this week, and let's have a powerful time of leading our folks closer and closer to Jesus in this season. Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Thank you. Have a great week. God bless.
God bless.